And now, the man with the plan, the host with the most, the rebel with a cause, the only commentator in the history of cyber radio to actually kill a liberal just by sneering at him. Gator Doug.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to If You Are Left, You Just Ain't Right. I am your host, Doug Hagan, host and owner of the Daily Gator blog, dailygator.wordpress.com. I host that blog, and along with the guy who introduces me each and every week in a selfless, tireless fashion, the great and awesome Edward Daly. Ed Daly, my friends, is truly a national treasure. And so is Chimpsey's Radio. I am very proud to have this show on Chimpsey's Radio. This is something I've wanted to do a long time. And I want to give you a website that is going to change the face and manner in which you get your political opinion, analysis, and, well, the left will say your marching orders to be part of the right-wing zealotry. It's chimpseytalk.com. You can find out the show lineup, find out a little about us, email us, give us your input, tell us how well we're doing, how awesome we are, and how good-looking we are when we're on the radio. We love to hear that kind of thing. I and the other hosts do. Remember, Chimpsey's Radio, I'm telling you, my friends, we are going to revolutionize talk radio, blogging, sex, everything. We're going to just turn the world on its collective ears. And we are in the process, my friends, of beginning a campaign that will drive the left out of their flipping minds. Now, I know you're thinking, the left's already out of their flipping minds, Doug. You know that. Yeah, I do, but it's fun to poke fun at them, and it's going to be fun to drive them even farther from their flipping minds as they stand and kneel in the pit of eternal leftist stupidity and dig as fast as they can. But it is July 4th weekend, Independence Day. That was yesterday. Excuse me. I am suffering from the ravages of seasonal allergies that get me a few times each year. So my voice is a little shaky. I beg your pardon. But on July 5th, 2010, America celebrated yesterday the 234th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Now, we all know Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. We know he was an incredible American, one of the greatest. And we know many of the founders deserve a lot more credit than they get today. Frankly, a lot of the founders are paid something of lip service by the media and a lot of commentators and in our history books, unfortunately. A major portion of American history, if it's taught properly, has to concern the founding of this country. That has to be one of the central focus points, because you have to understand the foundation, the principles, the beginning, to understand what's happened since, what's happening now, why it's important, why some people are like us on here on Chimpsey's Radio, and conservative bloggers and commentators and columnists are all so fired up that we return to constitutional principles. See, a lot of people don't understand that because, frankly, our education system, how should I put this delicately? It sucks. People like George Washington and the Founding Fathers and the entire period of the American Revolution and the Articles of Confederation. Can you still say the Articles of Confederation in school, by the way? Or is that too close to Confederate or Confederacy? Have we stricken that word? Is it now, we have the N-word already, you know what the N-word is? Is the Confederacy or Articles of Confederation, is that the new C word? C word too, maybe. We all know what the other C word is. I know here in Texas we had something called the Confederate Air Force, which had absolutely nothing to do with the Confederacy. But some people were offended by the word Confederate. So that was stricken, I believe, a few years ago. The price we pay for political correctness. And that rumbling sound you hear are the founding fathers turning in their graves over the political correctness that is sapping every bit of good out of this nation slowly but surely. The nation they risked their necks for. The nation they risk everything for. You know, folks, a lot of people look at the founders and they say, ah, just a bunch of rich white guys, a bunch of slave owners, a bunch of scumbags. They only did it for greed. They wanted to get the richer. George Washington, Franklin, Jefferson, they had it pretty good before the Revolution. In fact, it would have been a lot safer and a lot more profitable for them just to toe the line and continue to be British subjects. But they had something that a lot of people, particularly those on the left, do not have today and do not grasp today. They had some core principles. They believed in something called natural rights. They believed that men are created equal. They didn't believe in equality of results like liberals do. They didn't believe in that. They believed in equal at birth. They believed that we all had certain rights that were, as Jefferson put it, inalienable. They couldn't be touched by government. They couldn't be given, granted, or taken or restricted by government. They could only be honored and protected by government. That's what our Constitution, that's what the Bill of Rights does. You know, originally I was going to talk about George Mason, one of the great founders and a man who's unfortunately been forgotten too often. He actually didn't sign the Constitution, although he issued something called the Virginia Declaration of Rights, which is so much of our Constitution is taken from that, the Bill of Rights especially, and the Declaration of Independence. A brilliant document George Mason wrote called the Virginia Declaration of Rights. He wrote it a couple months before Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. And he wrote it strictly for the state of Virginia, not for all the 13 colonies. Excuse me. But he didn't sign onto the Constitution because it did not contain a Bill of Rights. That was his major issue he saw. And thankfully, before he passed away in 1792, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, were adopted in 1791, were ratified. But think about our founders again. Think about what they risked. You know, Franklin, one of my favorite quotes. Franklin has two of my all-time favorite quotes. One is, and liberals get this one wrong because they leave out a word. Franklin said, those who would give up essential liberties for security will soon have neither and deserve neither. I'm paraphrasing. That's not his exact quote. But he did say essential liberties. Liberals like to leave out the word essential. Franklin was not a stupid man. He was a very wise man, as were all the founders. But his other quote is, we shall surely hang together or surely hang separately. And he understood that all the founders, all the people fighting the American Revolution must stick together and could not abandon the cause or it would all soon collapse and they would have indeed hung. And someone sent me an email and it's about the men who signed the Declaration of Independence, which, of course, Independence Day is July 4th. That's when the Declaration of Independence was released in 1776. And one of my favorite blogs, one of my blogging buddies, Adrienne's Corner, she's a Catholic blogger, a fine lady, and she posted something on her blog. She posted some information about those men, those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, men that the left would tell you were just a bunch of greedy, greedy white guys looking to get richer. Really, actually, they risked, and some lost, much or everything they had, including their lives. And I want to share really quickly this little notation about these 56 men. Because if we forget them, as our education system has largely, we're soon going to lose our country. We're seeing the results of forgetting our history right now. Here we go, folks. Five of the men who signed were captured by the British and tried as traitors and they were tortured before they died. That's what these men risked. They risked torture, horrible treatment, being charged as traitors, and executed. Five of those 56 men were tortured and died. They gave their lives for the country that wasn't even founded yet. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned. Two lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had two sons captured. You always hear the talk about how privileged the founders were from the left. They were just a bunch of elitists and snobs who didn't care about the common man. Really? Well, certainly when their sons are dying in the Revolutionary Army and serving in the Revolutionary Army, and they're putting their necks on the line, they weren't just rich people looking to get richer. They were looking to build a nation. They were looking to make history. Not for their own glorification, but because it was the right thing to do. They saw man as having rights that needed to be protected and defended and honored, and they set forth and revolted and sought independence so they could form a nation that would do that. We return to the saga of the 56 signers. 9 of those men fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. Again, these are front line. These are people out there with muskets fighting the British. 9 of them gave their lives on the battlefields. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. And nothing was more important than honor in those days. I ask you to think about America today, particularly our Congress, our politicians of both parties, unfortunately. How many of those can you truly say, or men or women, regardless of party affiliation, how many can you say are men or women of honor? Think long and hard. I don't think you'd probably come up with too many out of the 535 congressmen, and look to governors and look at, to your state legislators. Look to your county commissions. Look to your city councils. Look at all those areas. How many people of honor can you find? Now, what kind of men were they? Again, the leftist propaganda is they were just a bunch of rich people who looking to get richer, greedy, self-serving leeches, really. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Imagine someone giving you a pen and a piece of paper and saying, here are your principles. Here is the pen. Sign avowing your principles. And the penalty for doing it may very well be death. And let's face it, the odds of American colonies winning their independence against the mightiest military, not mightiest nation on earth, were very slim. These were people taking a long shot gamble. This wasn't a safe bet by any means. Imagine someone putting that pen in your hand and asking you, sign, stand for your principles, and you may be killed for it. Or on the other hand, do not sign, and you'll be safe and sound and secure in the wealth and manner of living you have now. Think about that. These were men of the same mettle of those who stood in the Alamo when Texas was fighting for its independence, that crossed that line and chose to stay and fight at the Alamo. Men and of honor, men of courage, men of conviction and principles. Those are the kind of men that God above blessed us with, my friends, because it took that special kind of man, blessed by God. Yes, God. He's real atheists. Sorry if you don't like that. But these men were blessed. They were chosen to form this great nation where even atheists have the freedom not to believe in the God that gives them their freedom not to believe in him. That's why so many atheists are bitter. Because they live in that conundrum. They're angry because they realize the source of their liberty not to believe in God comes from, in the eyes of the founders of this country, God. But back to the point. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader. Saw all his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in rags. He gave up all his wealth so that America would be a free country. We today are free, and men like Carter Braxton, who most people have never heard of, did that for us. Thomas McKean, so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. Imagine a congressman today working without pay. You think that's going to happen? I don't think so. And his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and his reward, like Carter Braxton, was poverty. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. All those men signed the Declaration of Independence. Look what it got them. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Here's a man who saw his own home willingly urged General Washington to destroy his own home to win the war, to win freedom, to win independence, my friends. That's the type of men that were the 56 that signed this Declaration of Independence. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy, the British, jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. Imagine giving the love of your life, losing the love of your life, fighting for what you believe in. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. Think about what John Hart gave up. Think about it. Think about the sacrifice, my friends. Now, this email closes with an admonition to just take a few minutes while you're enjoying the fireworks and the barbecue and the cookout and the family, friends, whatever you're enjoying this weekend. Maybe it's just a little peace and quiet and time off work. I would urge you to take more than just a few minutes on every day. Remember these men. Remember what they gave. Remind yourself daily that they gave these things quite willingly. Quite willingly. Remind yourself that they risked everything they had willingly. You know, there's a big difference in making a mistake and signing on to something and not realizing the consequences you faced. These men weren't fools. These men were very wise, and they knew the consequences that were faced, the consequences that could affect them so negatively, and they took on that challenge anyway. They met it head on. They didn't blink. Those who died, those who suffered, they did it willingly for something much greater and larger than themselves. And we always hear the left talking about the common good and helping your fellow man, and we hear them talk about, well, I'll put it this way. They always talk about the common good, but they always talk about it in terms of what the government can do, what government program, what entitlement program. They never talk about individuals and what they can do. They never talk about the private sector doing it. They never talk about people taking on the responsibility themselves. Everything in a liberal's mind comes from the government down. Your rights come from the government. Your freedoms, your liberties, your money, how much money you keep all come from the government. The founders, the men who signed this declaration, the soldiers in the Revolutionary War, they weren't those types of people. They were people that took their own course of action. They fought their government. They rebelled. They revolted. They risked their necks to get something done that they saw a need to be done. You are free today because of them. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't know if I've said it on one of these radio shows. But understand this: on July 4th, today July 5th, August 18th, doesn't matter the date. Remind yourself of this every day if you can. Write it down. Your liberty, my friends, has but one source. That is the Lord above. He is the one that created all of us. He is the one who blessed us with liberty. When we talk about natural rights or God-given rights, we're talking about the liberties that God blesses every man, woman, and child with when they enter this world. That's the only source for your liberty. The protectors of your liberty, well, there's a Constitution of the United States of America. And unfortunately, the left has so abandoned even mentioning or referencing the Constitution that you wonder if they've ever read it or ever care to read it again. But the Constitution laid out the founding principle of this country, that our rights come from God, and that government can do nothing to affect those rights. They can only cherish them, honor them, and promise to protect them. That's what the Constitution does. Then there's the second protector of your liberties. And without the third member of this group here, the Constitution wouldn't matter. It's those men and women that have fought and died in our military, in all our wars, from that first soldier, from those first Minutemen, from those first militiamen in the American Revolution, to the Colonial Army, to all the men in all the wars since, to the ones serving now, the men and women serving now. So many have given their lives so that we could stay free, so we could enjoy the blessings of liberty that God bestowed upon us, and that we could actually continue to have a constitution that honored the wisdom of the Lord above and honored our liberty. Without them, you wouldn't be free. Without the founders, you wouldn't be free. And of course, without God, you wouldn't have any liberty. You would have nothing. That is the essence of America, my friends. That's where your liberty comes from, and that's who protects your liberty. Unfortunately, again, you look at this country today, you look at the Democratic Party, and by no means am I letting the Republican Party off the hook, because there's a lot of Republicans I have no use for. A lot of Republicans are too obsessed with being mavericks, or being accepted, or having flowing kind words said about them in the media, or getting a pat on the back from men, despicable men like Ted Kennedy was, or Alan Grayson of Florida, or Nancy Pelosi, or Harry Reid. My friends, any Republican worth his salt should be embarrassed and ashamed and should fall down on his knees and apologize to the memories of all the founders and all our soldiers if a liberal Democrat says anything to praise them. Because if a liberal Democrat's praising you and you're a conservative Republican, man, you better reevaluate your stances, your positions, and your ideals damn quick, because you're sliding off the beaten path. You're sliding off the path you ought to be on. Look at just a couple days ago, a few days ago, whatever it was, Barack Obama gave his much heralded immigration speech. And look what the man said. The man that is president, the constitutional scholar, said that being America was not about blood or birth. Has the man ever read the 14th Amendment to the Constitution? That's what it is about completely. Blood and birth. It's not about some altruistic ideal of if you believe in this or believe in that. President Obama said it was about faith. Faith. Where the hell does that come from? This man is a constitutional scholar and knows nothing of the document he's supposed to be a scholar of. How far have we fallen from the founders to this? We thought Bill Clinton was bad. We thought Bill Clinton was the worst we'd ever seen. Obama is so far past that. Look at the person he's nominated most recently to sit on the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan asked by Tom Coburn, Republican senator from Oklahoma, asked if she believed in natural rights, the thing that Franklin and Madison and Jefferson all believed in. The ideal that we're given certain rights that government doesn't control at all. They're just a natural condition. She fumbled and refused to answer the question and made something up about, well, if it's not in the Constitution and I'm going to rule on the Constitution. And he kept repeating that he just wanted to know what her opinion was. Did she believe in natural rights? She couldn't answer the question. Or she wouldn't answer the question because she knows the answer would hurt her chances to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. I think we all know her belief system on natural rights. Look, if someone hems and haws and delays and refuses to answer a question so simple, so direct, so crystal clear, I mean, you'd think the woman would at least be smart enough just to lie. She couldn't even bring herself to lie and say what Tom Coburn wanted to hear. I guess her ideals and her principles are so far to the left that she can't even bring those words to escape past her lips, that she believes in natural rights. That's how far we've fallen from the founders. That's how far we've fallen, my friends. The question is, how far will we fall before we either get our butts up and start going back the other way? How far will we go till maybe we can't get up anymore? Maybe we'll be like that old lady on the Medic Alert commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. Is that where America's headed? Is that where we're going? I mean, look at the factors against us. We've got an education system that doesn't educate anybody. It's more about indoctrination than education. We've got congressmen and congresswomen, presidents, governors across the fruited plain who don't care about honor. They don't care about the Constitution or principles or standing up for what's right. They care more about poll numbers and spinning things. And what will the media say? Even many Republicans are gutless. They're afraid. If you're afraid to stand up for your country and fight for the principles it was founded upon, you shouldn't be in Congress. You shouldn't be in the Senate. You damn sure shouldn't be in the White House. You shouldn't be in any governor's mansion in the 50 states. You should be doing something else. Something else entirely. You don't belong in a leadership role in this country. How far have we fallen from the founders? How far have we fallen from those 56 brave, principled men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Again, I ask you, my friends, every day, ask yourself that question. Ask yourself, if someone were to put a piece of paper in front of you, give you a pen, and say you can sign it, stand up for your principles, and you will put your very life, your wealth, everything you have on the line, and there's a very good chance you'll lose that life and that wealth, or both. You can do that, or you can take the easy way out. And you cannot choose to fight for liberty. What would you do? Then think about the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. That wasn't some proposition. That wasn't some maybe it'll happen. That was the thing that happened with them. They knew what they were signing. They knew the consequences. They knew the likelihood that they would suffer immensely and die. They understood what they were facing. And they did it anyway. They were the first Americans. It was their sacrifice that breathed the life of liberty into this nation. And that life, that breath of liberty, has been slowly running out for years and decades now. It's being ripped from the lungs of this country by liberals and leftists every day who want to punish success, who want to get into your private lives, who want to control your money and tell you how much money that you earn you can keep. They want to tell you how to give, what charities to support. They want to tell you what you may or may not do in your private home. They want to tell you how much soon, how much energy you will be able to use. They want to take over every bit of your healthcare decision making. They want to raise your children. My friends, the gross intrusions upon our liberty today dwarf those that England cast upon the colonies, and the colonials revolted over far less than we face today. Now, I'm not suggesting we take up arms and revolt. We've got a much, much, much safer way to revolt, but it's going to take guts. It's the ballot box. It's throwing the bastards out of office. We don't tar and feather people anymore. We tar and feather them on election day, on primary day. And if they don't listen, then we do it to the next one. If the new ones don't listen, they can be thrown out of office too. This is your country. I know you love it. I know I love it. I know the men who gave all during the revolution and risked all. I know they loved it. And they didn't even have a country yet. They gave us this nation. All we have to do is refuse to let it go. Ask yourself this day, am I willing to sacrifice? Because you have much less to sacrifice than those men did. If they did that then, you can certainly become involved, get up on the issues, and vote now, and campaign and work your butt off to ensure that we leave a better America for our children and begin to restore the promise and blessings of America to future generations. My friends, that's it for me this week. Happy Independence Day. Check out ChimpsiesTalk.com. Check out our Facebook page. Check out my blog, thedailygator.wordpress.com. It has been my pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your patronage and listening to me. And my friends, remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And one more thing, go Gators. God bless everybody. Good night. See you next week.